Concentration dependent colloid transport and retention in saturated porous media. Please.
I forgot to introduce Andre earlier. He's a co-convener of this session. He'll be chairing the session this afternoon. I would also like to acknowledge my co-authors on this presentation, Nick Kim and Saeed Torksaban. So we know in natural environments that you can have a variety of colloids, and you can have wide ranges in concentrations that occur in natural environments. And one study that I looked at suggested that in groundwater you can have concentrations ranging over many orders of magnitude. And so I wanted to ask myself the question, how is the concentration of your colloidal suspension going to influence its transport behavior? And so we did a literature review and looked at this, and the literature review suggests that there's a complex coupling between a variety of factors, between colloid concentration, pore size and geometry, colloid size and velocity. And if you looked at this strictly from an attachment-detachment perspective at two different concentrations, and you had a limited number of attachment sites, if you had a higher concentration, you would fill up these sites faster than at a lower concentration. But in the literature, there's also, if you do experiments, breakthrough curve experiments at different concentrations, we don't really see this type of shape behavior that has been predicted. And some explanations that have appeared in the literature include jamming and plugging of pore constrictions and solid phase mass transfer to low velocity regions such as grain-grain contacts and surface roughness locations. So specifically in this talk, we want to answer the question, how does the solution chemistry influence this concentration-dependent behavior? And so initially, we did some DLVO-type calculations, and the experiments I'll be talking about today were run under unfavorable conditions. And so in this case, DLVO theory would predict a energy barrier to attachment of colloids in the primary minima, but a potential for weak interactions through a secondary minima that occurs at a small separation distance from the solid. So some of the ways that we looked at strictly attachment type of behavior, we did a simple batch experiments to look at that behavior. We also did column type of experiments where we pass a colloidal suspension at a different concentration and different chemistries up through a column, and we measure the concentration of the effluent over time. And then after we complete the experiment, we excavate the soil in the column and we look at the spatial distribution of retained colloids. We've done this for one size of quartz sand. We use, today we'll talk about 1.1 micron latex colloids. We did this under very highly unfavorable attachment conditions at pH 10. And we varied the ionic strength by adjusting the sodium chloride or sodium bromide concentrations in the solutions. And we did this at two velocities. And the concentration ranges we looked at are over several orders of magnitude here. But I just want to point out that in natural environments, you can have much wider ranges in concentrations. So here are some of the results that we see. These are average values of our batch experiments, the amount that was retained. And so you see that as you increase the solution ionic strength, you're getting just small amounts of colloid attachment occurring, and this attachment is increasing due to a greater depth of the secondary minima, which we see here. But also DLVO theory would predict very large energy barriers in all cases, so attachment in the primary minima is not expected to be a significant cause of colloid retention in these systems. So here are the results of the column experiments that we conducted here. And I'll just point out we did this at four different ionic strengths, 6 millimolar, 31 millimolar, 56 millimolar, and 106. And so these are the concentrations that we did these experiments. And the breakthrough curves are normalized by the input concentrations. So the differences that you see in the breakthrough curves reflect the effect of input concentration. What you see is that at these two extreme concentrations at the low ionic strength, we don't see an effect of concentration. And in a similar manner, at the highest ionic strength, we also don't see an effect of concentration occurring. But we see extreme sensitivity to concentration occurring at this intermediate ionic strength of 31 millimolar, and to a lesser extent at 56 millimolar. And what we see is at the highest input concentration, we get the most transport occurring through the column. And as we go to lower concentrations, we get decreasing or increasing amounts of retention and decreasing amounts coming out in the column effluent. And so we wanted to really understand, well, what's causing this this effect. So we see that the concentration effect is a function of the input solution ionic strength. So next we wanted to say, well, how is velocity going to affect this behavior? And so what we have here, we have two systems here. This is one at 5 times higher velocity than what I just showed previously at the same ionic strength. And in this case, we just show the two extreme concentrations. And so what you see here is that in this case, we had very little coming out at the lowest concentration. And at a higher velocity, now we have much more coming out. And at the conversely, at the highest input concentration, we see a similar level coming out. And if we look at the 56 millimolar systems, we also see the same trend of the effect of concentration becoming more important at a higher velocity compared to a lower velocity. So now we have two factors, so the effect of ionic strength and the effect of velocity are affecting our observed concentration effects. So we wanted to look at a potential explanation for this. Well, first of all, the kinetic energy of diffusing colloids as time goes to infinity can be described by the Maxwellian distribution here. And this has been in turn used to determine the fraction of the colloids that can interact with the primary minima or the secondary minima if you consider this is the depth of the secondary minima predicted by DLVO theory. And so this was proposed by Simone et al. In 1998. And so based on this, we can determine the fraction of the colloids that will interact with the secondary minima here, and this is what you see it's predicted. So as ionic strength increases, or the depth of the secondary minima increases, you're going to have a greater fraction of your colloids interact with the solid surface via the secondary minima. But this does not account for the effect of solution hydrodynamics. It only accounts for the effect of adhesive interactions and the force of diffusion. Now, if we look at the effect of hydrodynamics, we see this is just a theoretical example. If we look at an ensemble of spherical grains and we solve the flow field, and solve the Navier-Stokes equation in this case, and then determine the velocity right along the solid surface, we can determine the applied hydrodynamic torque that colloids will experience next to the solid surface. And we can also determine the applied or the resisting adhesive torque. And by doing a torque balance, you can determine the regions of the solid surface that will contribute to retention under different solution chemistry conditions. And what we see from these type of calculations is that grain-to-grain contacts are hydrodynamically favorable for colloid retention. Similarly, I'm not going to show this here, but surface roughness locations can also be hydrodynamically favorable for colloid retention under unfavorable conditions. So we've also done some micromodel experiments to try to validate this theoretical prediction. And And what we see here, it's not showing up very well, and that's kind of disappointing. But could Yakov, could you hit the light there? Maybe maybe that will help. Okay, well, yeah, you can see it a little bit better. But so this is a micromole experiment conducted at the 31 millimolar situation. And what you see here is the 1.1 micron colloids are retained to a large extent near grain-to-grain contact locations. And so we think that this is an important finding, and it has important implications of the effect of concentration on transport behavior. Yakov, if you could turn on the light again. So one thing that we observe here is now, let's see having temporal changes in the effect of input concentration can affect the transport behavior. And so what we did this is under 31 millimolar conditions again, and at a given velocity, now we tried to see if we could make these concentration effects disappear. And so what we did is initially did a pulse at 3.6 times 10 to the 7th concentration, and then one at a higher concentration, just like we saw previously, we see a concentration effect. Now we systematically decrease the concentration. And you see that now the concentration effect is disappearing. And so this suggests that we're filling up the retention sites over time. And once we've filled up these retention sites, then the concentration effect will disappear. And this is a similar example, but just different variations and concentrations. So next we want to say, well, how is this affecting the retention profiles, the amount of colloids retained in the soil after the end of the experiment? And what you see here, we plotted the same data set two different ways. And in this case, we've normalized this by the input number. And so you see here that at the lower concentrations, you have a greater retention occurring at the column inlet. But in this case, we don't normalize this, and we plot it on a semi-log scale. And what you see is that the shape of the profile is changing with the input concentration. So at the lowest input concentration, you have a non-exponential distribution. Whereas as you start to do this at a higher concentration, and you start filling up the retention sites, it becomes log linear. And so this can help explain differences in experimental results that people have observed with the shape of the retention profiles. And so we believe that concentration-dependent behavior can be an important explanation for some of the differences observed in the literature. Now, you can also use this information to determine the maximum. If you assume that you filled all the retention sites in this location, then this is a maximum amount of retained colloids, and you can use this to infer what the fraction of the solid surface area is that contributes to colloid retention. And this is the solid surface area, the geometric solid surface area, and this is a cross-sectional area of the colloids. So if you do this for this particular soil, you see that only a very small fraction of your solid surface can contribute to retention, just 2.3%. So this suggests that concentration effects can be very important. But I want to emphasize that concentration effects are not just a filling of these retention locations. It's also a rate of filling. And what that's shown here is a breakthrough curve at two input concentrations in which we apply the same total mass to the system. Okay, so we apply this pulse much longer so we can get the same mass that we put in here. And if we do this and you conduct a mass balance, you see that you only get around maybe 35% coming out here, but right here you get around 86% coming out. So it's not just the filling of the sites, but it's also the mass transfer to these sites. So we think that solid phase mass transfer of colloids can also be an important factor. This was also previously demonstrated at under pH 7 conditions at like 1 millimolar for a range of grain sizes. So In conclusion, we just would like to point out that colloid retention is a highly coupled process that depends on concentration, solution chemistry, and pore space geometry. Concentration effects are enhanced when colloids are weakly associated with the solid phase via secondary minima and at higher velocities. And only a small fraction of the porous media may contribute to retention. Once this fraction is filled, then enhanced transport of colloids is likely. And colloid concentration will influence solid phase mass transfer to retention locations. We actually observed this in our micromodel experiments. And this also has some important implications. The implication of concentration may explain differences in the literature that have been observed under different experimental conditions. And also, if you're trying to predict the long-term fate of colloids in porous media, you need to recognize that if you do experiments under clean bed conditions, you're not really reflecting what's going on. And if you have natural background colloids in there, this can also influence what's going on as well. And I'd just like to acknowledge my my funding sources. Thanks for your time.
Just a couple minutes for questions.
Yeah, what I didn't mention earlier is that if you do these torque balance calculations about the solid surface area, they'll contribute to retention. These calculations suggest that S of F will change with ionic strength and velocity.
So let's keep ionic strength and velocity the same,
just
varying the concentration and the duration.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking that it's a fixed value for a given concentration and solution chemistry and velocity condition.
You also did a batch experiment, so under batch conditions, are you assuming like 100 standard surfaces were available for that?
Yeah, under batch experiments, it's a little harder to interpret the results, okay, but basically, what the results in the batch experiment suggest is that there's enhanced interaction of the colloids occurring at the high ionic strength. And so we assume that all the surface area is available in the batch, and it reflects the potential for a colloid association. So we're attributing it to interaction via the secondary minima.
That's
ideally it would be nice to be able to take batch parameters and predict column experiments, but I don't think we're there yet. But a lot of people have done work with colloids have not even considered batch, and I think that it provides valuable information about colloid association with the solid surface that can provide complementary information for column studies. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
The minimum of adhesion of colloidal particle in the cell surface. What is the controlling factor for the adhesion?
The controlling factor for the interactions of
colloids? For absorption and desorption.
Yes.
So you have some mechanism of precipitation and adhesion and then absorption and desorption of the colloidal particle.
What is the mechanism of interaction?
Okay, well, so the mechanism of interactions, the colloids come to the surface through mass transfer processes such as sedimentation, diffusion, and interception, and then they interact at the surface due to van der Waals interactions, okay, and it's a weak interaction at a separation distance, and this is referred to as the secondary minima, or that's what we're hypothesizing anyway.
Suspension concentration change the particle size of colloid?
We don't believe so. You know, we've noticed that the suspensions are not aggregating. You know, they're stable suspensions, so we don't think the concentration is affecting aggregation behavior. Well, thank you for your time and attention. Just a reminder, everyone, that the second session starts at 1 o'clock, and our invited speaker, Marcus Fleury, will be the first speaker.
Oh, good. Nice to meet you, Andre. I've read your review article, so it's nice to finally put a face.
Yeah, no, this is sort of a very fast review of everything we've done. So given that...